Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We have been learning quite a bit about the second coming of Christ from the words of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3. Words, as we know, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And we have come to verses 12 and 13, and specifically here we are told, number one, that the second coming of Christ is the believer's motivation. It motivates him to live a life of godliness in anticipation of that coming. But we've learned, number two, that the second coming of Christ is the world's destruction. In fact, we can make that bigger. We can say the universe's destruction. But world, of course, can be used in the sense of planet Earth, or sometimes even is a loose term for the universe. But any way you look at it, there's going to be a day of great destruction, which is going to bring to an end the present heavens and earth. The universe as we know it is going to be dissolved with an intense heat. But the second coming of Jesus Christ, number three, is the Christian's satisfaction, as we see in verse 13, and that's where we are going today. So thank you for joining me on this Monday, June 29. Thank you for remembering that we depend upon the gifts of our radio listeners. Verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we read in verse 13, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Yes, the world's destruction is part of the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ, number one, is the believer's motivation. Number two is the world's destruction. And everything that was ruined by the fall is going to be destroyed at that time, and then it's going to be redeemed. A new universe is going to come out of it, a new heavens and a new earth. The same language that described the old one, heavens and earth, but now something new. Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 8, verse 22, when he said, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. The whole creation. That's everything material, everything created. In fact, it's everything material and everything spiritual, apart from God, who is eternal. But everything created. And he's talking, of course, about the material universe. I think he obviously does not mean in that description the holy angels, who are also part of God's creation, but not a part of this creation. They have a separate creation. So he's talking about the creation as we read about it in Genesis chapter 1. And he tells us that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Why? Because the curse fell upon this whole universe, and it labors, it groans under the burden of the curse, waiting for the birth of something new. And that's what Peter is describing for us in verse 13. I read verses 12 and 13 again. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which The heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. There's an important distinction here. The opening of verse 13 says, nevertheless, we, in contrast with those who are objects of judgment, those who are spoken of previously, in contrast with promised destruction. We are not part of that promised destruction. We are not those who are objects of judgment. He talked about those previously. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and so forth. There's going to be this great judgment, which will involve the material universe and all those who have not believed the Word of God. But there is another group that Peter describes as the we, nevertheless we, all throughout this chapter. He has been making the sharp contrast between they and we, between them and us. You have to keep those distinctions in mind if you're going to understand clearly what Peter is saying throughout here and get those categories together. I mentioned that earlier in the explanation of verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance. You've got to understand that to understand correctly what Peter is saying in verse 9. And that kind of contrast continues throughout the chapter, and we see it here in verse 13. In verse 12, he talks about this great destruction, and he's talking about those who will be caught up in that destruction, who will be severely judged. But there's another group, verse 13, nevertheless, we, believers in Jesus Christ, we who are the people of God, we who are the bride of Christ, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. This is a glorious promise. We look for something, what? According to his promise. He has promised this. And you can find different statements of this promise in various parts of the Bible. I will turn to one in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17, where we read, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." I'll read that again. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." When this present world is dissolved and the new one comes into existence, this new heavens and new earth, the memory of the old one is going to just fade away. I think there's a link here to a question that oftentimes people wonder in regard to heaven. And where is heaven, by the way? And I think it's probably right here. The new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I think that is going to be the eternal abode for the people of God. But nevertheless, this question, when I get to heaven, am I going to remember my loved ones who aren't here? That's a sad thought. It is. And it ought to make us sober. It ought to motivate us now to give the gospel and to pray for the souls of our loved ones, because that is a sobering thought. Will I be burdened by those of my loved ones who are not here? Because if they're not here, I know where they are. And the answer is, I don't think so. I think that's going to be a fading memory that goes away, just like we read in Isaiah about the new heavens and the new earth. "Behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." What a blessing. We're not going to remember all of the sin and sickness of this world. And I'm not talking so much about physical sickness. I'm talking about moral sickness and this sin sickness that just encompasses our world. It's a terrible thing. And, of course, with it, all of the disease and death and pain and suffering and injustice and on and on it goes. It's not a pretty sight, frankly. But Peter says, or Isaiah rather says, when the new heavens and the new earth are created, those who are dwelling there are not going to even remember that former condition. And so this is a fulfilled longing. He goes on to say, a new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. A new heavens and a new earth, new in quality. As we see, it's really going to be a recreation out of the materials of the former one. But as a new earth came out of the flood, so again, a new earth is going to come out of the fire. It's going to be so different that in one respect it seems to be brand new, but it's really a recreation of God out of the elements of the old. We read in Revelation 21:1, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea." There it is. And here Peter tells us that in this new heaven and new earth, righteousness dwells. Righteousness is personified as a being who is living, who is dwelling in this new universe, who has settled down and is at home in this universe, who has taken up comfortable residence in this new universe. God's declared will be obeyed perfectly, gladly, and eagerly in that day, in that place, in the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness dwells. Isn't that what our Lord taught us to pray for? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, Peter tells us that day is coming. There will be a fulfillment, an answer to that prayer. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Believers eagerly anticipate a transformed world. Believers long for redemption, not judgment. Redemption not only for themselves, but redemption of this material universe. But judgment is necessary for redemption to occur. It must come first so that redemption can come second. We see that in other places in Scripture, as for example in Matthew chapter 13. I turn there quickly and look at verses 41 to 43. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The judgment of the wicked and of the universe under the curse of sin must be accomplished before the redemption can be culminated. And believers are looking forward to that redemption, the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. Our redeemed hearts long for it. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.